Fantastic, good people. Welcome to tonight's New Breed Conference call with me, your host, Bishop Wayne Malcolm. We are live and direct. Very excited about tonight's New Breed call. Very happy for those of you that have come on the line. Perhaps because of my conviction that no one comes on by accident or coincidentally, but perhaps as part of a divine appointment to accelerate your destiny. And so let me start by saying that the New Breed Call is an outreach of the ICANN Global Network and the ICANN Global Academy. And you can join the Global Network, which is our online community, at www.icannglobalnetwork.com. Or you can test drive our academy at icannglobalacademy.com. So we're very excited about you being on the call. Tonight we're going to conclude a very powerful series on purpose. It's entitled Fit for Purpose, in which we've been exploring the whole subject of purpose and destiny and looking at God's reason for our presence on planet Earth at this time. And we've drawn some very powerful ideas from the series so far, but very specifically, we should be in a place, those of you that have followed along in the series, where it is abundantly clear that our presence on planet Earth is not an accident, it's not a coincidence, it is a deliberate, intentional, strategic, meaningful, purposeful manifestation of God's infinite wisdom and intelligence, meaning that out of his infinite wisdom and intelligence, he chose that you would appear on planet Earth at this time for specific purposes. And of course, we are unashamedly a Christ-centered and Bible-based ministry, so I'll be making several references to the scriptures and to our Lord and Savior. One of the things that that reoccurs, one of the patterns and principles of Scripture, is this idea that God himself chooses us before we appear on the planet, before we are born, and that he has purpose in our presence. And so, you know, there are various characters of Scripture that prophecies were made over their life before they were born, while they were yet in the womb, before they were even conceived. And so we see this with Samson, we see this with Moses, we see this with our Lord and Savior, we see this with John the Baptist, that various prophecies and predictions were made over their life before they were conceived and before they were born. Likewise, Jeremiah the prophet, in Jeremiah chapter 1, God spoke to him and said, "Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you, and before you came out of the womb, I sanctified and ordained you a prophet to the nations." And so this speaks to the idea of purpose and destiny. Destiny simply means destination. It is the end game. It is your point, God's objective for your life, the target he was aiming at when he released you into the world, that is your destiny. And so discovering your destiny is an important part of alignment. Discovering your destiny is discovering the purpose for your very presence on planet Earth at this time. Discovering your destiny changes your life entirely because all of the resources of heaven are standing at the disposal of those people who are fulfilling the purpose for which they were created and born. And so this is a very important part of Christian theology, and it's a very important part of our pragmatic everyday living. And so the challenge is for us to walk along a certain pathway, and I call it the pathway of purpose. And the pathway of purpose is going to lead you through the doorways of destiny. But that path is not an easy road. It is the road less traveled. It is designed to correct and to perfect you for your purpose. Hence, it comes with twists and turns. It takes you over mountains and it takes you through valleys. It will take you through good times and bad. It will take you through circumstantial seasons like summer, winter, autumn, and spring, and they will take you through stages and through phases. But each of them is designed to correct or to perfect that which is lacking in you. And as you make progress along the pathways of purpose, you will access the doorways of destiny that take your life to another level, that take your voice to another level, your influence and your significance to another level. And so living on purpose is exciting. It is an adventure. It transforms your life into an amazing adventure. And I am excited about living, excited about purpose and destiny, and excited about the doorways of destiny that continue to open as we move along the pathways of purpose. So tonight I want to drop another key, another powerful key, that I'm pretty sure will be a blessing to those of you that have called in. And I will be reading from a few passages of Scripture to illustrate this point. The first is Romans 8, verse 28, and it reads, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." To them who are the called according to his purpose. And so this is a very powerful verse, and it's absolutely loaded, because it suggests that the entire universe, all things, will work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. All things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. It is almost as though a universal and cosmic conspiracy is working in favor of those people who are called according to the purpose of God and who love God and have an intimate personal relationship with him. There is a cosmic conspiracy on your behalf to ensure that the doors that should be open to you open up, and that the provisions and the resources needed for you to carry out your assignment are available to you, and that the people that you need to meet in order to access new networks and new opportunities will show up in your life at the right time, in the right place, and even those things, those weapons that were formed against you, those gallows that were built for your execution, those mechanisms that were created for your demise, even those things are going to, in some way, accelerate your destiny, advance your assignment, and become part of your promotion. And we see this over and over again in the Bible, that those things that were meant to destroy the people of faith only in the end served to develop the people of faith, to deliver the people of faith, and to bless the people of faith. And this is what is alluded to in this verse, that we know that all things are working together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. So tonight, I want to focus on the calling. The called according to his purpose. Because God calls you into his purpose. He calls us out of darkness into marvelous light. He calls us according to his purpose. And so I want to deal with the call of God upon your life and how you can understand the call, know the call, respond to the call, obey the call, and walk in the call. And so let's start by just recognizing the pattern of a calling in Scripture. You know, we see Abraham was called of God when God said to him, "Get up out of your country, out from among your kindred, to a place that I will afterwards show you." So God set Abraham on a path, on a journey, and he did it by a call or a command or a commissioning. And he further confirmed the calling at numerous junctions in Abraham's journey by revisiting him in a vision and reiterating to him the promise attached to his calling. Likewise, we see various characters of scripture like Moses. You know, he started his journey, his parents started his journey as the result of a calling, a divine intervention. And he started his journey as a deliverer, as a result of an encounter, a calling. We see that Gideon was called, and, you know, these callings come up throughout the scriptures. Now, do they always take the form of an audible voice or some sort of supernatural intervention? Not necessarily. Sometimes the call of God is in your DNA. It is in your emotional composition because of the things that you care about deeply, the things that concern you about your world, the things that trouble you are often indications of the calling upon your life, because they trouble you and they concern you in ways that they don't concern everyone else. And there is a deep sense of emotional attachment to a certain cause that is indicative of a call of God upon your life. Sometimes it is your own problems that you have faced throughout your journey that are indicative of the call upon your life. And sometimes it is your passion, the things that excite you, the things that energize you, the things that you dream about, the things that grip your imagination, that are indicative of the call of God upon your life. So when you come into relationship with Christ, he is going to call you to ministry. I want to say it again. When you come into relationship with Christ, he is going to call you to ministry. And ministry doesn't necessarily mean a pulpit. It doesn't mean preaching from a Bible. It doesn't even mean your voluntary service within a local church capacity, although it may include all of those things. The word ministry simply means service, which means that he will call you to service. He will call you to serve his purpose. He will call you to serve your generation. He will call you to serve a people. So he will call you to serve his purpose. He will call you to serve your generation. And he will call you to serve a people. And that is your call to ministry. Now, whether you do that through your voluntary service, you do that through your career or your profession, you do that through a ministry or an outreach, you know, or you do that in your household as a minister to your family, whatever the case, he will call you to service because he has a purpose for your life. That purpose is a role of service, and he will call you to serve. He will call you to ministry. I should also pause to say that ministry is the key to greatness. Jesus said, whoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. I should also say that ministry is the key to deliverance. You know, Joseph was in jail before he was in the palace. He was in prison before he was in the palace. But while in prison, he used his gift to serve others for God's glory. And it was his service in the prison that brought him to the attention of the Pharaoh in the palace. And so your service where you are is going to make room for you and bring you into the arena of greatness. And so we are called to ministry. We are called to use our gifts in the service of God, in the service of our fellows, in the service of our generation. We're called to do that, and we're called according to his purpose. So now what I want to do is I want to break down the call of God upon your life into its three components, because there are three parts to the call of God on your life. How many parts? Three. Three parts to the call of God upon your life. And, or there are three stages to the call. Three expressions of the call, three functions of the call. And I am now going to be reading from Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Matthew 4, verse 19. And this is where Jesus calls his disciples to follow him. This is Jesus at the beginning of his ministry calling the disciples to follow him, specifically Peter and Andrew. And this is what he says, verse 19. He said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So I want you to notice that there are three parts to that calling, and we're going to explore them tonight. So the first part of the call of God and the call of Christ on your life is a call to follow him. He said, follow me. So this is the call to a relationship. This is the call to a person. He says, follow me. This means come into a relationship with me. Follow me, the person that is Christ. So we are first called to the person that is Christ. The second part of the call is where he says, I will make you. I will make you. So this is the calling to a process. So in the first part of your call, you're called to a person. Then you are called to a process. And it is the making process. It is the process by which you are made into a leader, made into a voice, made into a center of influence, made into a significant presence, made for your assignment. And this making is a process. He says, I will make you. And, of course, we know that it took 3 years of discipleship, mentoring, and training, and experience, and mistakes, and success, and failure. It took 3 years of a process that would make the leaders out of the disciples. So Peter and Andrew were raw material. They were raw material. They were like the ore that is mined from the ground. They had to pass through the refiner's fire and through the process of purification so they could come out as pure gold. And so the second part of the call on your life is the call to a making process. So let's recap. You are first called to the person of Christ. You are in relationship. You are then called to the process that will make you fit for purpose. And the third part of the calling is where he tells them what he's going to make of them. I'm going to make you fishers of men. This now speaks to your purpose or to the promise of your calling, the hope of your calling. So the hope of your calling is that you will catch men for Christ. This is the message to the disciples. You're going to follow me, that is the call to my person. I will make you, that is the call to the process. Fishers of men, that is the call to the purpose or to the promise. So I want you to notice that there is an order to the call. There is an order to the call of God upon your life. It starts with a relationship with God in Christ. And this means coming to faith, personal faith. This means growing your personal faith. This means cultivating a relationship through prayer and worship. It means understanding and knowing him and getting to know his word, his will, his way. It means a covenant relationship. It means a partnership. And it means cooperation and collaboration with Christ. And so that is the first part of your calling. The second part is the making process. And the third part is your purpose. Now, I want you to notice the order to the call, because if you get the order wrong, then you never realize the hope of the calling. If you get the order wrong, you never realize the hope of the calling. You never materialize or manifest the purpose for which you were called. What do I mean by getting the order wrong? I mean that some people are looking for a promise without the process that would make them fit for that purpose. Some folks are in pursuit of the purpose of God whilst neglecting or seeking to avoid the process that would make them fit for that purpose. And by doing so, they are neglecting the order, they are violating the order, and they never get to realize the hope of their calling or the promise of their purpose, because they are either avoiding, neglecting, or they are discounting, resisting the process that would make you fit for purpose. Likewise, some folks are in pursuit of the purpose and the promises of God without the person of Christ, a relationship with him. And so they're looking for the spoils of victory, the rewards of success, the triumphant celebration of victory, apart from a relationship with Christ. Likewise, there are some folks who are trying to go through the process of making, of becoming a leader, of becoming a significant voice in the earth, without that personal relationship with Christ. And the end result is that you cannot endure the process, because the process is so hot and so fiery that it takes Christ within in order to even survive the process. And without that personal relationship with Christ, you can come out of your process having learned all the wrong lessons, coming out of it bitter rather than better, coming out of it with a bad attitude and therefore a low altitude, just because you went into your trial without Jesus. And so you see how many people make the mistake of violating the order by pursuing the promise whilst avoiding the process and avoiding the person that can take them through the process. So what we've got to do is we've got to put it into order and say, okay, my first priority is my relationship with Jesus Christ. I need to know him. I need to know him more than I need to serve him. I need to know him more than I need to try to win something on his behalf. And so you go to work on developing that relationship. And it's not overnight. It's not overnight because it's going to require some routine in the form of new habits. Your relationship with Christ and your relationship with anyone is characterized by habit. And habits are the routines that are a natural part of that relationship, or that the routines that characterize the relationship. And so it's about developing a prayer life that is consistent. It's about developing a personal devotion that is consistent. It is about reading the scriptures for devotional purposes. And it is about trusting Christ with your everyday, with your needs, with your challenges, with your valleys, with your defeats, with your despairs. It's about learning to know him in the valley so that you can know who is leading you to the mountain. And that becomes your priority. But the second priority is to submit to the process that will make you fit for purpose. To embrace the process that will make you fit for purpose. Instead of cursing the process, condemning the process, praying against the process, it's about surrendering to it, cooperating with it, flowing with it, and growing with it. So, who would Joseph have been without his process? He would have been an ineffective leader. Who would Moses have been without his process? He would have been an ineffective leader. Who would Joshua have been without his process? An ineffective leader. If you look at King David, he was an effective leader because of the years of processing that went into his elevation. Likewise, Solomon, there was processing that went into his leadership. And Jesus Christ, our Savior, who is the incarnate God, the Word made flesh. He did not start his ministry until 30 years of processing, and he further did not launch his ministry until 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, which was a time of processing. And so Jesus did not attempt to win the prize without the process, because that's a violation of the order. And in the same way, we must embrace the process that will make us fit for purpose. And then in the final stage, we must become clear about who we are called to catch. So who are you called to catch? Who are you called to influence? Who are you called to impact? And as that clarity begins to emerge, what is it emerging out of? It's emerging out of your personal relationship, and it's emerging out of your process. Out of your personal relationship and your process will come clarity about who you are called to catch. Because guess what? You are not called to catch everyone. I'm going to say it again. You are not called to catch everyone. Your assignment is not to boil the ocean. Okay? Go into all the world was not a commandment given to any one person. It was given to the corporate body of Christ, which means that every man had to go into his world and not into all of the world. And so you are not called to catch everyone. In fact, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." So the question is, who are you anointed for? You are anointed for a people. You are anointed for a place, and you are anointed for a time. You are anointed for a purpose, and that purpose emerges out of your personal relationship and your personal process. All right, I'm going to close with this comment. You can take it any which way you want to. I am looking for some serious players. God is raising up serious players, so it's not for everyone. But those people who are serious about becoming significant, serious about becoming influential, serious about leading a field, finding the pathway of purpose, walking through the doorways of destiny, and entering the arena of greatness, those people, I want to train you. I want to mentor you in a very official capacity. I want to coach you, and I want to help you become all that God dreams you to be. The mechanism that we have chosen for this making process, because of its systematic nature, is the ICANN Global Academy. So we are taking in new students right now, and I want to encourage those of you that have a call of God on your life to become part of that movement. All you need to do is go to the website, ICANGlobalAcademy.com. Ignore any prices that you see on the screen. And when you sign up, I will give you a free test drive so that you get a sense of what our mentoring is like, what our coaching is like, what our supervision is like. And then you can make a decision as to whether you're going to come on a journey with us for at least 1 year of personal development, professional development, ministry development, or business development. And it will be an exciting opportunity for you. So God bless those of you who stayed on the line, serious players. God bless you. Go to that website now, ICANGlobalAcademy.com, and simply click sign up. And nothing to pay, just sign up. You'll get a username and a password. We will activate your account within 24 hours, and you will be live doing a bit of training with us. So God bless you, heaven smile upon you, and have a beautiful evening tonight. God bless.